As you all know, we are going to continue our study in the book of Daniel. And we are up to Daniel chapter 5, right? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, again, I will have, if you're willing to read and I give you verses, just start reading them, okay? Whoever is willing to read, and you know, everyone, you want to move ahead and you want to read, then just go ahead and read, okay? Daniel chapter 5, and I'd like someone to read verses 1 and 2. Anybody can read. Well, Pastor, I guess you're going to have to read.
Amen. This is the word. The word of the Lord. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them.
Okay, amen. So, this is an interactive study, as you all know, and whatever questions or anything you want to say to add to this study is fine. Now, okay, so we have these two verses, King Belshazzar, and it says that his father Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I want to clarify that. Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar was not his father. They use that term very often in those times. Belshazzar, this king, was the king of Babylon, and King Nebuchadnezzar was probably most likely his grandfather. Okay? So you can put Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather, okay? Now, now what's thought is that Belshazzar's mother was probably the daughter of King Nebuchadnezzar, thereby making him his grandson. Okay, so I just want to give you a little history, give you some context to this. Back in 586 BC, okay, King Nebuchadnezzar, you remember we've spoken about him in the beginning of this book of Daniel, how he had a dream of this big statue. And okay, and the prophet Daniel had explained it to him, what it meant, and then how he had a dream of this tree, and God ordains that he become like an animal for 7 years. Do you remember that? That was in chapters 1 through 4. Okay, so this same king in 586 came against Jerusalem. He destroyed it, and he took he took treasures out of the temple. Okay, he looted the temple of God, and among these treasures were these vessels. What did it say? It says in verse 2. That Belshazzar gave orders. He's having this big banquet. He's having a feast with his nobles. And he tells his servants, go get the vessels, the drinking vessels that we took from the temple of Jerusalem, or that my grandfather took. So he's taking these vessels and he's drinking from them. Him and his nobles are going to drink from them, okay? So that's the picture, right? We have it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Elizabeth, you got your Bible?
Yes.
So read verse 3 and 4.
Okay. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before thousands. Oh, no, that's not 3 and 4.
No.
I'm sorry. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple, the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princesses, his wives, and his concubines.
Yes.
Drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold, oh Lord, and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone.
Oh. Okay. So you know that.
Wow.
You know that God had given all the instructions for how the tabernacle would be built. And then the temple, these were the same instructions that were applicable. So here are the vessels. They were sacred vessels. Why? Because they were dedicated to the one true God of Israel. So, and you, this was they were taken, I just want to give you a time aspect. They were taken 47 years earlier when his grandfather came against Jerusalem, right? Just to give you an idea. And they were used, these vessels were used for sacrificial rituals in the temple at Jerusalem. What did they represent? They represented holiness, purity, and the divine presence of God.
Right.
Amen. Yep. Hallelujah. So what did these infidels, unbelievers, worshippers of false gods, what did they do? They drank from the cups and they praised the Babylonian gods.
Wow.
Was a blasphemous action. This was blasphemy.
Yep.
You take vessels that are dedicated to the one true God of Israel, and you're praising gods that don't exist. You're praising demons.
Wow.
Because every idol, even today, every idol that you see is backed by a demonic entity. They're praising demons. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So somebody read verses 5 and 6.
Hector.
Suddenly, excuse me. I'm afraid for you. Suddenly the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote.
This is verses 5 and 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where is he?
Yeah, he is.
5 and 6 and 7. Five and six. Hector, continue reading verse 6.
All right. Was I at the right spot?
Yes,
you were.
Oh, I was just interrupted then. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his legs became weak, and his knees were knocking.
Amen. Elizabeth, this is chapter 5, verses 5 and 6.
I know. That's what I see here.
But what do you have?
In the same hour came forth fingers of a man hand and wrote over against the candlestick on the piaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king wrote part of the hand that wrote that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what version? It's the same things, basically. And what version do you have?
King.
Of the Bible?
James, yeah.
What?
King James.
Okay, that's the okay. So we're reading from different versions. That's
okay. So
right now,
sorry,
I got the regular one that's plain
Yeah, you have the NIV, which is what I have. I'm reading from, let me reread that for you guys. Suddenly the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay?
Like it.
That's what I read.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lampstand in the royal palace. I just want Elizabeth to see the connection. Okay? So...
I have to get that Bible.
Yes, you should read from the NIV or the New King James. Yeah. Okay, so what happens here? Suddenly or immediately, as they mocked God, what happened? Fingers of a man's hand appeared to write on the wall. Our God can communicate any way he wants to. He didn't have to send an angel to speak to them.
Wow.
The hands of a man appeared. I mean, that was a shocker. God got their attention or got the king's attention immediately.
Yep.
Imagine the hands of a man. You look up and the hands of a man are writing on a wall. I mean, their blasphemy was so blatant that God had to shock them or the king right back.
Yeah. God stepped in right away. Wow, blasphemy.
God's demonstration, or God, the fingers writing on the wall was so powerful that what happened to the king? He became terrified. He was terrified. How do we know he was terrified? His legs became weak. His knees started knocking. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had that experience where your knees start knocking?
Mm-hmm. Wow. God stepped in right away to let them know they cannot.
Exactly. Let me tell you.
Those things were precious in the temple. Precious, you know.
Absolutely. This was the presence of God making himself known. I mean, my knees have started knocking when I have been filled with the Spirit at times, and the word that's coming is very, very powerful. I've had that experience. So you could have it from terror or not, but the presence of the Lord, right? The presence of the Lord. I mean, he was terrified. You know what? When do you become upset or terrified about something? It's when your conscience comes into play. His conscience testified against him. He knew right away that what he did was
wrong. That's wrong. Yep.
Amen. And the phrase that we use, the proverbial phrase, the writing on the wall comes from? Comes from here, from the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody read verses 7, 8, and 9. 7, 8, and 9. Lisa, did you want to read before?
Sure. No, I could read now. I could read.
Yes.
Daniel 5:7-9. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished.
Right. So what does this remind us of? Again, right? Again, when King Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather, wanted his dream told to him what he had dreamt, and when he wanted meanings of what he had dreamt subsequently, he called for whom?
Astrologers.
Astrologers, diviners, to interpret. And again,
soothsayers,
that's another word. Amen.
Oh, okay.
Again, right? Again, what happened? Again, they could not. Right? Again, they could not.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we see promises. What are the, we've seen this before. Promises of grandeur. Clothed in purple. I'm gonna make you great. I'm gonna have you clothed in purple. What is purple? The color of royalty. Right? I'm gonna give you gold. I'm gonna give you a greater position. You see these promises, these allures. You have to be careful. We have to be careful when you're promised all this. You have to know where it's coming from. Amen?
Yes, amen.
They could not interpret, and he was what? Again, he was terrified.
Yeah.
Amen? Now, I want you to take note of this. Only God gives understanding. And he gives it to whom he will. Amen?
Amen.
It's not followers of Satan. Amen. They give true prophetic words, true understanding. You have to be careful. You have to be careful from whom you receive prophetic words, from whom, who's willing to interpret your dreams. Amen. You have to be careful. Is that person serving the Lord? Do you know the intent? And I always say this, but I really believe this. Who are you receiving words from? What is their integrity? Who is laying hands on you? What do you know about their private lives? There's so much deception in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
A lot of people just want glory for themselves. We've seen that. We've seen that. They want to be glorified. So we have to be careful. Amen. Only God gives understanding. That's why we should always go to God first.
Yeah.
You want to know something? Go to God. Don't ask for a pick. Go to God. Amen? That's what we should be doing, going to God. Hallelujah. So here he goes. He goes to his astrologers, his soothsayers, his diviners, but they could not interpret.
No.
And I don't think they did. I think that they themselves were so shocked that they knew that this was something beyond them and they could not touch this. Right? Right? Some things you don't touch. Some things you say, no, that's, that's for God to interpret. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So let's go to verses 10. Let's read through verse 12. Anyone? From
much as an excellent spirit. I'm sorry, who was that?
From 9, did we read 9? Yes, we, from 9, yeah. Read from,
okay. Read 9.
Okay, so go from 10, 11, 12. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spoke and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let the countenance be changed. There is a man in the kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, which found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians and astrologers and the soothsayers and chandans. More? For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and shewing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will, we got to get Daniel again, and he will do the interpretations. I got to get the other version.
All right. Yeah, you should. So what happened, okay? The queen. Who is the queen? It's the queen mother. It's Belshazzar's mother, okay? How do we know it's the mother and not the queen, his wife? Because in prior verses, it tells that when he had this banquet, he had all his wives and concubines present, right? So the queen mother, she's hearing what's going on in the banquet hall, right? So she's hearing all this, and she knows that her son is very disturbed about this, very disturbed. So, I mean, about what's going on. So she comes in and she tells him, don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale, right? There is a man in your kingdom that had interpreted dreams for your grandfather. Amen. Again, she's speaking about the dreams that Daniel interpreted for King Nebuchadnezzar, right? Okay. And so she tells him his name is Daniel, and he has the ability to interpret dreams, amen, explain riddles, solve difficult problems, amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So you know what? So I said praise for the mothers. For mothers. I mean, she saw her son was disturbed, terrified, and she steps in, right? That's what mothers do.
That's what mothers do, always there.
Mothers do. Amen. So, okay, she remembered Daniel. Amen. She remembered him. Let me tell you something. This was very simple, you know. Queen Mother comes in. She tells him, don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. That these men cannot interpret, but I know someone, right? I know someone. Don't you find it, I think, I wouldn't say amazing, but gratifying that people remember those who know God, who truly know God. So, you know, you got to walk in your walk. You got to talk the talk. You got to be the person that God called you to be so that people can see. Amen? Because who do they call when they need prayer? They call you, right?
They call their mother. Their mother knows.
They call those, and they call those who, you know, they call those who serve the Lord. Daniel was a server of the one true God. Daniel was an Israelite. Daniel was one of the young men that were captured when King Nebuchadnezzar came against Jerusalem in 586 BC. And it says that he took the cream of the crop. He took the most excellent out of Jerusalem so they could serve him in his palace. This was Daniel, a man of God. We have to be men and women of God. Take a stand. That's what we have to be. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even those that do not serve the one true God, this is what I wrote down, will remember you. Will remember you. When they become in need, they will remember you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me fix this. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So look what happens in verse
13.
Let me see. Who hasn't read and is willing to read? Verse 13, 14. 13 and 14. Anybody?
So the Jew was brought before the king. And the king said to him, are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father and the king brought from Judah?
Mm-hmm.
I have heard that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom.
Continue reading, Hector.
The wise men and the enchanters were brought before me to read this writing and tell me what it means. But they could not explain it. Now I have heard that you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom.
Okay, stop there. Amen? Okay. All right, read verse 17. Hector.
Then Daniel answered the king, you may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means.
All right, let's stop there. Amen. Hallelujah. So Daniel is brought before the king. Amen. And Daniel tells him, right? Okay. So anyway, the king offers him gifts, right? And then Daniel tells him what? Keep your gifts. Right. Keep your gifts. But I will interpret for you. Keep your gifts. But it's not telling you, be careful of gifts that are offered to you that will compromise your position in Christ. God is your provider. God is the one that provides. God is the one that places you wherever he places you. God is the one that meets all of our needs. Here it is. What is he offering Daniel again? He's offering the gifts. What are the gifts? You will be clothed in purple. Again, royalty. Amen. I'm going to give you a gold chain to put around your neck. You will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Isn't that what the enemy offers? Isn't that what he offers for you to compromise?
Right.
For you to compromise. God is the one that provides for us. God is the one that places you in position. It's not man. It's God.
That's right.
What did Daniel do? He refused the gifts. We have to learn to refuse gifts that are not in line with what God has for us or what God has called us to do. Especially, gifts are very alluring. Right? Especially if you need them. And the enemy says, I found this wallet. I see there's identification. Let me keep it anyway. Oh, God gave it to me. You know, it's funny. Jack recently lost $20. Left it, right? Forgot it in a cash machine as we were buying groceries. So what did I say? Well, I hope whoever finds it needed it. I mean, that's good. That's good, you know? But what if the person that found it, what did they say? Probably said, thank you, Lord. That's innocent. That's something that's innocent. You know, but I'm talking about gifts that call you to compromise your walk in Christ. See, Daniel said, keep your gifts. Daniel knew who was his provider. Daniel knew that. He knew, you know.
Amen.
He was indignant. Why was he indignant? Because Belshazzar, I don't know if I'm going to get ahead of myself, but Belshazzar was born during the time of his grandfather. He knew what his grandfather went through. And we'll get to that. And yet, he did not express the humility that his grandfather subsequently expressed. But going back to the first few chapters that we read, how King Nebuchadnezzar, after his second experience, he finally recognized the God of the universe, and he gave God glory and so on. Amen? Yes. Daniel was indignant. This man, this king, had the audacity to use the sacred vessels that were not supposed to be taken out of the temple, first of all, and not supposed to be used to worship false gods. So Daniel was, you know, he was indignant. So verses 18, let's read verses 18 through 21. Okay, I think I'll read those unless somebody else.
You read it. I'll read it, Titi.
Okay, that's fine.
O King, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, kingdom and majesty, glory and honor.
Hold on, hold on. I want you all to know he's reminding him. Daniel is reminding the king of what happened with his grandfather, okay? He's reminding him. Go ahead, Lisa. You start again.
O King, the Most High God, gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses.
Okay, so he's reminding him of what happened to his grandfather. His grandfather was lifted up in pride. Look what I've done, right? Look at this kingdom that I have. We have to be careful with pride. Daniel was reminding him, you remember, and after 7 years as a beast, God allowed King Nebuchadnezzar's sanity to return to him. And what did King Nebuchadnezzar do? He acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over all the kingdoms, over all the earth, and he sets over them whomever he pleases. In other words, you're king because God set you over that kingdom, right? You know, and he's reminding him, you know, God punished him because he looked at the kingdoms of the world and he said, look what I've done. Pride. We got to be careful. We have to be careful whether we're in ministry or not. We have to be careful that pride doesn't arise in her. Now he continues, okay? So read from 22 through 24. Lisa, go ahead. Read from 22 to 24.
Okay. But you, his son, Belteshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and his right, and this writing was written.
Okay, so you all understand, right? This is a rebuke. Daniel is rebuking him, right? He's saying, you knew all this. You knew what happened, and yet, you drank from sacred vessels, and you praised gods that don't exist, gods that you have made with hands. Amen. Hallelujah. So he rebuked him, and he said, you've exalted yourself against the God of heaven, even though you knew what transpired with your grandfather. Even though you knew all of this, you still refused to humble yourself. Look what you've done. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Again. So we're in verse 25. This 25 is, this is the inscription that was written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson.
Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson.
So he's telling, you know, this is what was written. Daniel is now explaining or interpreting what went on, what was written on the wall, right? Here's what the words mean, right? That's what it reads, Hector, right? Here is what the words mean. Mene.
Mene.
God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end.
Ooh.
Tekel. You have been weighed on the scales and found wanting.
Hmm.
Pa. Amen. Tekel.
Wow.
That was Tekel. You have been weighed. Parson. In the NIV version, the word is Peres, and I'll explain that. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians.
Wow.
Mene, what did he just tell them? Mene, you're going to die. Your days are numbered. It means you're going to die. Tekel, your kingdom was found to be deficient. Amen.
Amen.
See, it's God who sets up the kingdoms. He establishes the kingdoms and he brings them to an end.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. See, now you've been weighed, right? It said, I was interested in this. You tackle. You have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. Scales. So the motif of scales, where have we seen that? Often held by the Lady of Justice, you know, in courts and whatnot, we see the scales, right? And what do scales represent? That motif of scales. It represents weighing of evidence of arguments in a legal case. Mm-hmm. Amen. When the scales are balanced, what does it mean? It means that things have, it represents impartiality. When the scales are even, it means there was no prejudice, partiality, uneven scales. Amen. The evidence has been weighed fairly. But you know, God says I've looked at the evidence. I've looked at your behavior. Amen. I've looked at how you run your kingdom. You are deficient. You have been weighed, and your scales are not balanced. You're deficient. Mm-hmm. God's telling him, you know, you know, the scales, the balanced scales represent impartiality, represents the obligation of the law, you know, to weigh the evidence presented. God weighed the evidence presented and said, you fall short. You fall short.
Yeah.
We got to be careful that we do not fall short. Amen? That we don't fall short. I mean, yes, we're saved. But I've always said, what position do you want in the kingdom? Where do you want to be in the kingdom of God? Because gifts, they're going to be rewards. That's what the Bible says. There's going to be a judgment, not a judgment of salvation, but a judgment or a court of rewards. And your rewards are going to be based on how you live your Christian life. Look it up in scriptures if you don't believe me. But I taught on that quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
Amen?
I remember. Crowns. Amen. Yeah.
You're going to be given gifts depending on your Christian walk. This is not a judgment of salvation. Amen? So scales. I mean, we're not perfect, but because we're still in this human body. But let us try to do the best we can, walk this Christian walk the best we can. Do we blow it? As I've always said, yes, we do. Yes, we do. But what do? Right away when we blow it, we repent. We go before God and say, I blew it, Lord. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And the Word of God says, right in the book of 1 John, that he's righteous and he forgives us our sins. Amen. And it's speaking to his children. And who are we? We are his children. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now the last word. Eupharsin. His kingdom would be given to the Medes and the Persians. Now, I researched this because I was always wondering, I don't know about you, but I always wondered, his kingdom was given to the Medes and the Persians? How did that work? I mean, have you ever thought that? I have. Anyway, although the word, now this is what I researched that I found, although the third word was written in the plural form, eupharsin, Daniel explained it using the singular form of the word, which is peres. That's in the NIV version, that word, peres. The prediction that Belshazzar's kingdom had been divided does not mean that the Babylonian Empire would be divided equally between two kingdoms. but that the Babylonian kingdom would be taken over by the Medo-Persian Empire. It was one empire. It was called the Medo-Persian Empire. And it was, I looked it up on a map, it was huge. It was vast. Vast. Extending from Egypt, going north, going east, all the way. I mean, you can look it up, the Medo-Persian Empire. So I went further. I said, so who were the Medes? Because I know who the Persians were. Persia is Iran.
Okay.
You know that. That's the ancient name for the nation of Iran. Amen. Mm-hmm. So who were the Medes? Well, the Medes were an Indo-European people who migrated to northwestern Iran around the end of the second millennium BCE. So they were a group of people, the Medes, but they gravitated to Iran, which is Persia. And that entire empire was the Medo-Persian Empire. Amen?
Amen.
So it was, his kingdom wasn't divided between two different peoples or two different empires. It was given over to one empire. So I've always had that question. And I've always had the question because when we read about it in various books, we read of the Bible, we read about, we read about King Cyrus, right? Everybody knows about King Cyrus and King Darius. Amen. So I'm gonna give you a little here. When at this time when Belshazzar, he drops dead, and King Cyrus invades Babylon. He invades the country. That's King Cyrus. He invades the country, okay? When this is all happening. Am I confusing you? When this is happening, this banquet and all that, this banquet is taking place, okay? Anyway, let's keep going and I'll explain that a little further in this interactive study. Amen? Read verse 29 and 30, and then we'll explain this further. So, Pastor, read verse 29 and verse 30.
Then Belshazzar gave the command, and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold around his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old.
Okay. So this is where you should ask, wait a minute. King Cyrus the II invaded Babylon at this time. It wasn't Darius who invaded Babylon at this time. It was Cyrus. It wasn't Darius. Okay, so Cyrus was the king. Cyrus was the king of this Medo-Persian Empire. Now, this is an empire. This is not one little city. This is not one little province. He is the king of an empire, okay? And so, what does he do? Amen. It says,
Daniel.
Well, Daniel was given his gifts. He didn't want them. He had refused them, but they were placed on him by the king. Belshazzar. So you're not going to say, take these off of me. He was given those gifts. But that same night, Belshazzar, when King Cyrus came with his army, Belshazzar was killed. Okay? And then The king gave that province, Babylon, which is a province of his vast empire, he gave it to Darius to rule over it. That's why you continue to see these two names in scripture. And I had always wondered about that. That's why you see. So who was Darius? Amen. He's the one that the King Cyrus later, he was made Darius the First, the king of Persia. You have King Cyrus the Second. Okay, after he reigns, Darius becomes the king of Persia. Amen. He didn't conquer Babylon. He consolidated and expanded what King Cyrus had done. Amen. He expanded his empire. Amen.
That's a lot.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now we have King Darius over Babylon. I just want you to see that there's two different things going on. There's an empire, okay? There's an empire that King Cyrus ruled over. Then there's Babylon, which Darius later became king over Babylon, okay? And Babylon, the people of Babylon, they're not only known as Babylonians, they're known as the Chaldeans. So when you see the name Chaldeans, they're referring to the people of Babylon, okay? He was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, right? Okay. And you know what, so again, talking about, I have here in verses 9, I have various verses here where, that he was made over the realm of the Chaldeans, Babylon, by Cyrus the Great. He's best remembered for, you remember, when he was, again talking about Darius, when he was tricked by various, what would you call them, rulers in his kingdom. He was tricked into putting Daniel in the lion's den. You remember this? Mm-hmm. Well, did we do that one?
Yeah.
Daniel in the lion's den? I don't know if we did that one yet. But anyway, it was Darius who was ruler over Babylon at that time.
Oh.
His nobles that he had put to rule over various over various parts of his kingdom, they tricked him by telling him that Daniel was still worshiping his God instead of worshiping the king.
Remember that.
You remember
that
story?
Yes, of course.
He put through a proclamation, a law that said for 30 days no one can worship any other God.
And he kept worshiping.
And he kept worshiping his God, and he was thrown in the lion's den.
Yeah.
And Darius was very upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
The next day he went to the lion's den and he said, Daniel, has your God delivered you? Okay. That was him. That was him, Darius. That was King
Darius.
Amen. And the thing is what I want you to realize, and this is the point I've been trying to get to, what I want you to realize is that during this time, the law of the Medes and the Persians did not allow them to alter any law that was previously written. And so his nobles had tricked him into writing this law that for 30 days they had to worship. They could not worship other gods. Okay? So What I want to show you is that you remember the statue that Nebuchadnezzar was a golden head, and the silver was the Medo-Persian Empire. Nebuchadnezzar could alter any law he wanted to, but this empire could not. Again, pointing towards the inferiority of this kingdom, as opposed to Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, the head of gold. The statue that we saw in the beginning, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had about this big statue, the head was of gold, and then silver, and then bronze, and then iron. That statue was showing you the various kingdoms and how each one was inferior to the other.
Okay. Yeah, I heard that.
Mm-hmm. So the silver, that's this kingdom, is represented by the silver, which is inferior to gold. Mm-hmm. Just by the fact that he could not alter this law, right, tells you right. his inferiority to King Nebuchadnezzar. Mm. Clear? Is that not clear?
Yes, it's clear. I remember that story on TV. I remember, I didn't read it, but
Amen.
Yeah.
That so helped. The inferiority of the silver kingdom over the gold kingdom of Babylon. Okay? Different empires. Amen? This is no longer the Babylonian Empire. This is now the Babylon is in it, but it's the Medo-Persian Empire. Amen? Anyway, that was a lesson, and I hope that you understood most of it. And if it wasn't clear, let me know, and I will explain it to you personally. Amen? And, amen. And so it's a lesson, about pride. It's a lesson about thinking that one is greater than God. It's a lesson about sacred things. Don't use God's name in profanity. Don't use things that represent God in profanity. Do not tamper with the glory of God. Amen.
Who to trust? Only God.
Give God the glory in whatever you do. Give God the glory because he has allowed it. Because he's sovereign, because he controls kingdoms, because he brings people up and he brings people down. Amen?
Amen. Amen.